Well, hello and welcome to Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. We're so glad that you're joining us for this time together. It has been a long few years, and one of the questions that I am repeatedly asked by those in the church, sometimes even my own heart, and certainly by those outside of the church as I interact with other pastors is there any hope? Does Christianity actually work in the real world when things are difficult? I have always believed that preaching the Word of God and prayer would transform lives, and yet I've seen people do things that I have been shocked by. Many seem to have lost hope, hope of personal purity, hope of healing in relationships with children or grandchildren or spouses, hope for unity in the church, and it feels like many have lost hope. In the midst of the spiritual battle we're in, can we find hope? Can we be those known for our hope? And I want to first of all say that the battle is real. There is a reality to having the wind taken out of our sails. The world has a radically different way of thinking. It's a different religion, and we swim in it and so often are heavily influenced by it. There's still a battle going on with our flesh. We're selfish, we're sinful, and we tend to blame and slander others rather than deal with our own sin. And then maybe most intensely, the demonic realm attacks. They want us distracted from Jesus and disoriented from the future and the hope that we have. And I think at the very least, we should acknowledge that life is hard. And yet that question, is there any hope for us? The answer has to be for those of us who follow Jesus, yes, there is a deep hope, a deep delight, and that hope is as sure as the resurrection of Jesus. In fact, in one of the most difficult times in Christian history, a time when Nero was the emperor, he was worse than Trudeau, if you don't believe me, look it up, even on the internet. In a time when the church was growing and yet the pain was so real, there is this declaration that people will ask us in the world we live in, the reason for the hope we have in us, 1 Peter 3:15. There is hope that we can have in the midst of anything. And if you read the book of 1 Peter, which is not where we're going to settle, you'll discover that there's hope for wives who are struggling with husbands that don't love Jesus and don't live like they love Jesus, don't treat them with the tenderness and love that they should. And there's this cry out to submit to God and to trust Him and to have hope in those situations of joy and submission. And then there's this comment of workers and slaves where it's so difficult, and sometimes those who are in charge of us in our workplace don't honor God, and yet there's this cry out to live for God, almost that Colossians 3, to do everything in the name of the Lord, to realize He's real and relevant and serve with hope in difficult circumstances. And then this cry, perhaps we've needed it more than ever before in the Canadian church, of submission to a government that is not good. And this would have been really hard under Nero. What I want to get from 1 Peter before we get into the passage I want to really touch on is, in the midst of a lost and broken world where relationships are difficult, where the world is demanding we think differently, where the flesh is so selfish and so sinful, and the demonic realm so desires to distract and disorient us, we can be those who have a hope that is so real and so on display that others will notice it and ask us, what's the reason for the hope that you have? It's so otherworldly. So how do we get that kind of hope? Is it possible, that's the question I want to ask, to live on mission for Jesus in Canada? Is it possible to live in a way that shows that we're holy when there's so much sin, where we're loving, where there's so much selfishness, where we're loyal to the Word of God, where there's so much deception and false narratives and messages that people are claiming are true that clearly aren't, and where so few people want to hear about Jesus and so many want to distract from that message either with adding to the Word of God or taking away from it? There is hope. The mission is possible. And we don't need to be downcast, O our soul, Psalm 42. We can put our hope in God. Mission possible. Now, I love Ephesians the book of Ephesians, the entire book, the greatness of God in Ephesians 1, the greatness of the gospel and the mission that Paul is on to bring that gospel to the Gentiles and to see unity in their lives with the church in Ephesians 2. And then Ephesians 3, maybe my favorite, 14 to 21 is where we're going to settle. But before we settle, Ephesians 4, based on doctrine and based on this delight and intimacy with the Father and fullness of the Spirit and Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith, which we'll read about in just a minute, we're to walk worthy of the calling we've received. We're to walk with hope. We're to realize that we can live in this way. We can be holy. We can be loving. We can be loyal to the Word of God. We can live on mission because God exists and Jesus rose from the dead. So here's the passage that I think we can find so much hope for as well as a challenge. It's found in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Would love for you to follow along if you want to pause the podcast and go get it, or if you just want to listen and delight in the fact that if this is true and it's God's word, and it is, we can live with a hope that transcends our circumstances. And we can offer that hope to those who are in the church and those who are out because we're not dominated by a worldly narrative. We're not disoriented by the demonic attack, and we're not overwhelmed by the selfishness and sinfulness of the flesh. Verse 14, for this reason, what reason? The doctrine that has been given, the greatness of the call of God on our lives for ministry, and what's coming, the call to live in a way that is worthy, to serve the bride of Christ. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. We're going to come back to that, but it's so important that he names the Father, the goodness of God, and the desire for God's work in us to be holy is seen in that simple term, Father. From whom every family in heaven and earth is named. He is sovereign over everything that happens in the world. Name here, he is over those things. He is at work, as Ephesians 1:11 would say, in every circumstance. That according to the riches of his glory, that's an amazing statement because he is glorious beyond measure. He may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, the person you are on the inside. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That dwelling here, meaning that he's at home there, that we're conformed to the image of Christ, as Galatians 4:19 would say, or we're living holy lives as he is holy, as 1 Peter would say. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I read that and I'm overwhelmed. I want to be holy. I want to be so intimate with God that I'm filled to the fullness of who he is, and that Christ would help me to experience his love so richly that his dwelling of, well, his presence in my life, my heart, the core of my being through faith would be so real that I would have this hope all of the time. And I look at this and I go, well, is this possible? And I love where Paul goes. I don't know that Paul was asking the possibility question. He talks about power a lot in the Bible. And I think it's important that we look at how the Bible uses power so we're not like those who are raised Baptist and Mennonite and look at power as something that is scary. More Pentecostal, look at power as something that is miraculous and rare, but rather see that this power is transformational. It helps us to love. It helps us to live for God. It helps us to be holy and on mission and delighting in him. That's the kind of power the gospel comes with in Romans 1:16 and 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And here it is in Ephesians 3. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, who are asking for this fullness of God, this experience of his love, this transformation, this hope that transcends circumstances, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I just want to take a moment. I think even reading that text should give us this hope that transcends circumstances, this unity that comes from loyalty to Jesus and not being disoriented by the demonic or the world. And I think just to slow down for a moment, and again, we could spend months here. I've been so helped by D.A. Carson and his book on prayer And I think one that everyone should read so that we pray more. But in this text, we can walk worthy of the calling we've received. We can be holy and loving and on mission and see impact and loyal to the Word of God in grace. And we can do that because God is real and God is powerful and God is at work in us. I want to just stop in three simple points in this podcast, and I want you to walk with me through them. The first is relational. This is a relationship-driven transformation. This is the Father we know, and He is good. This is the God we love, and He loves us and wants what is best for us. And I think this idea of God being Father, if it doesn't transform us, this is the Packer idea that this should be what's on our minds and hearts all of the time, and the thing we make most about, if we could understand the tenderness of His care and the totality of His commitment to our holiness and to live on mission for His glory, then we would rejoice in His discipline, delight in His love, and rest in His sovereignty. That relationship with the Father, so important. Next in this text, it tells us He kneels. Notice that. He is bowing before. This is a posture of prayer that is rare. You would think now, because we talk about kneeling, that it's the normal posture, but actually it's standing in respect, the normal posture. The kneeling here is absolute surrender and submission to God and whatever God wills. It's this choosing to say, I believe You are real. I believe You are right in what You allow, and I will submit to You fully. I bow before You as the one who loves me and tenderly takes care of me and has called me to live for You. I bow before You as the sovereign one who is over everyone and everything. This kneeling is important. It's full surrender. So it's this radical relationship with the Father, this full surrender to His sovereign care and love. And then I love what happens in the rest of the text. And again, I think if this was a sermon, we'd take a lot more time to walk through it. I'm just going to show you two things that are important that fights against two stealers of hope. If you're religious, but you don't have a relationship, then you will lose hope quickly. If you're decisional and not delighted in God, then you will lose hope quickly. And we need the power of the Spirit, the transformation of the Savior, the reality of the Father's sovereignty to make this happen so that we can live our lives to the praise of His glorious grace, so that we can be so hope-filled that others notice and respond. Really, this is mission possible because God's power is at work within us, and we can be filled to the fullness of God. So here's the breakdown of it. This is a prayer of Paul that we would be those, we just said it, filled to the fullness of Christ, that we would have Him dwelling in our hearts, really a transformation, a conformity to Him, a willingness to be set apart in holiness and a willingness to be set apart in mission. If God is truly powerful, and He is, then this mission is possible. There is no such thing as someone who's experienced the power of God that is not transformed by the power of God. Oh, yes, it's a process, but see in this text, there's hope for your holiness. There's hope for living for Him set apart. And then I think it's so important that we see the relational tenderness, the experience of the intimacy of the love of Jesus that is so real and so right and so changing of how we feel. You see this love that transcends knowledge. It's high and wide and deep and beyond human comprehension how Jesus could love us this much. And yet, it's something that we can have through the power of God, producing the fullness of God for the glory of God. Is the mission that He's placed us on possible? Is it mission possible? And in the midst of a world that has been difficult, let me tell you, with Peter's affirmation, inspired by the Holy Spirit, with Paul's process, that not only is it possible, the potential for each one of us to live constantly in this kind of life-transforming hope is ours in Christ. Listen, it's mission possible for the purpose and praise of God's name. And here's really the part I want us to focus on. He is able, verse 20, to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, able to do what? able to help us know him as Father, experience his love transformatively, and be filled to the fullness of God. You know, I was reading one of my favorite scholars on this, and he was saying he doesn't even understand what this means. It's just too great. It clearly means conformity to God, but it means more than that. It means that literally we're just filled to overflowing with a focus on Jesus, a fixation on Jesus, so that nothing else matters. And then because of that, everything else matters. So let me say to you in this Mission Possible time, if you've been feeling some hopelessness, if your eyes have been on the world and you look at the world and you see conspiracies running rampant or prime ministers that are sinister, and you're hearing others around you, even Christians, saying, buy some guns and store some food and find a safe place, look to Jesus. If, on the other hand, you look at your own life, your eyes are on yourself, and you feel desperate or bitter and sometimes judgmental of others and putting them down, get your eyes on Jesus. There is hope. There's hope to be holy, hope to live on mission for him and share the gospel with your friends, hope to be loving like Christ was loving, hope to walk worthy of the calling, hope to bring praise and honor to Jesus in everything because he is powerful, and that powerful through the Spirit and the resurrection of Jesus is ours in him. Mission Possible. Listen, for those of you who attend Cloverdale Baptist Church, I just want you to hear that we're going to actually make this the theme of our kickoff, because we, like those in Peter's time under Nero, or like those in Paul's time when imprisonment and the desperation of losing everything in the world was so real, need this message of power, our position in Christ, and the hope we have in him. Be hope-filled. Ephesians 3 is real. Be hope-filled. 1 Peter 3 calls us to do this and to be known for it. Be one who shares with others hope, and get your eyes off of the world and its messages, off of the flesh and its sinister sin and selfishness, off of the demonic and their disorientation and desire to take us away from the Word of God and the power of God, and fixate on Jesus. And then you will know and experience his love, his fullness, and conformity to him. And then you will discover the mission is possible.